Midlands today with O'Brien's Hyundai Mullingar. The all-new Hyundai Tucson, Westmead's favourite model of 2022. Hyundai, on to better. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday. A long day ahead for mums and dads because it's toy show night. So if yours are in school, there's just no avoiding it. It'll be all you hear about today. And do you know anybody who's appearing in it? Have we any local interest? If so, do tell me. Also coming up today, ESB makes electric cars as expensive to run as their petrol and diesel equivalents. And we solve a World Cup mystery. Yes, well done, Ms. Hubble. Sinead Hubble, producer of the Midlands Today Show, has certainly earned her wages today. At least one day a week, anyway. That's a good rate, Sinead. Now, when you call 0818 300 103 is the Midlands 103 comment line. If I'm still alive, you can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. What's on the front pages this morning? So on the Irish Examiner, calls to helpline soar after Spiriton revelation. This is the support group 1 in 4, which is there to help abuse survivors. They say that they're taking an influx of calls following a recent television documentary. The Irish Times has a couple of interesting stories on its front page, actually. It says, if you're a new tenant coming into the rental market, then you will face an average asking price of €1,464 per month. That is an average for the country as a whole. And if you are an existing tenant and you have a good relationship with the landlord, then you may be fortunate to pay a bit less. The other story on the front page, state seeks 20,000 holiday homes for refugees. And this is the great conundrum of the year at the Department of Housing. They already had a huge demand from Irish people for housing, whether privately owned or social and affordable, or publicly built. They say 62,000 people fleeing the Russian invasion of Ukraine are now living in Ireland. 62,000. By the end of December, that will be 72,000, exacerbated by the very cold winter expected in Ukraine and Russia's targeting of electricity infrastructure, meaning people have a choice. They either freeze to death or they get out. So yes, holiday homes, one option. And we talked to the Leash Integration Network yesterday. They mentioned the homes that are vacant because of the Fair Deal nursing home scheme. That is certainly another possibility. Still coverage of the Jerry Hutch trial on the front of the tabloids. The Irish Daily Star, for instance, kin pins. It says, and quoting the Monk, Keenahans were all about power. They wanted to be the biggest gang in Europe and to have the Colombians coming to them, which, of course, as the head of a rival gang, would not have pleased Mr. Hutch. The Irish Daily Mail. O'Brien's new powers to rezone land for housing. It says a radical plan will give the minister himself the ability to designate land for the sole purpose of social housing. That power previously had belonged to local councils and ultimately councillors, the elected representatives who would pass county development plans or variations to it. It seems not a day goes by there isn't some idea being floated to cure this housing crisis, but how effective they are, I'll let you make up your own mind. Anyway, let's go inside the papers and see if we can find something light-hearted. Oh, very serious today on a Friday. We should be having a happy Friday. Well, if you want to run the world's best B&B, it is for sale. And we're talking about Treva Heights in Lacken, in remote County Mayo, on the wildest of the wild Atlantic Way. And it was run for years by two former international executives, no less, Carol and Harry Whelan, who, because of their jobs and the hospitality nature of their jobs and wining and dining different people on many continents, they were well able to welcome people to Mayo. And they were voted time and again on TripAdvisor as the best of the best. And they were ranked in the top 25 worldwide. So one of the secrets they have given away now that the home is up for sale is how they got their sausages just right. Because all of the reviews said the breakfast was to die for. It was the highlight. So you never, ever fry sausages in the pan, says Carol. You don't grill them either. So what do you do? Well, she went out religiously to get the Super Quinn or Super Value sausages, and she would bake them in the oven. So that meant they were evenly cooked all the way around, and they were less greasy, so they would hold their flavour inside as well and still be slightly crispy on the outside. That's important. And she would put them in before she would go to Mass, and she would take them out when she got back. Now, if you don't go to Mass, that's about an hour, she said. And there are many other recipe secrets that she has given away in this article in the Irish Independent today. But if you're interested in buying the house and you have a spare €656,000, the best of luck on your move to Mayo. A letter in one of the papers poses an interesting dilemma. What would you do in this situation? The person writes, I have a very good relationship with my in-laws. They have been in my life for almost 5 years, and they've been a huge support to me and my partner. They helped pay for our wedding, and they also gifted us a significant sum towards our mortgage deposit. I'm agnostic and they are staunch Catholics, so we agreed to have a church wedding really just to appease them. And now, I wish I hadn't. I recently became a mum to my first child, and my in-laws are now insisting that we get our son baptised, because they believe strongly that baptism cleanses us of original sin. My husband thinks we should do it again just to make them happy, but this isn't the message I want to send to my child. At the same time, I feel beholden to them because they have given us so many financial gifts. What should I do? You're under pressure from all angles there. Hubby is prepared to give in. In-laws are expecting it. Be very difficult to dig in and say no. But it's not about money. Don't let the money influence you. The other thing, and I'm not a staunch religious person, far from it, the other reason many people get their child baptised here in Ireland is because it's almost a rite of passage in later life that they make their first Holy Communion, that they go on to confirmation. I'm not suggesting that's a good reason to do it, but that motivates a lot of us. Let's not deny it. What would you do? Elizabeth Taylor. It's over 10 years since she passed away, March 2011. But in somebody's house, in a suitcase, were a collection of her dresses that had long been forgotten about. And it includes her iconic 1961 Oscars dress. Obviously, this is radio, I can't show you the picture. It is in the Independent, by the way, if you want to look at it. But the dress is instantly recognisable from Christian Dior, and she described it as her lucky charm on the night. So about 10 years after that, she invited a friend around called Anne Sands, and Anne was told she could have as many dresses as she wanted from Elizabeth Taylor's wardrobe. So she collected 15 of them, brought them home, popped them in the suitcase, took them out from time to time to look at them. And you can see where this is going. Eventually, she forgot about them. So now her family stumbled upon them, were absolutely amazed, approached an auctioneer, Kerry Taylor of Kerry Taylor Auctions in London, no less, and they will be going up for sale for probably eye-watering amounts of money. The main story on the Irish Independent today, I forgot to tell you that, Jules Thomas is the former partner of Sophie Toscan de Plantier's murder suspect, Ian Bailey. An accusation, by the way, Ian Bailey continues to deny to this day. And there was a documentary on Netflix, Sophie, A Murder in West Cork. And in the series, she believes people got the impression that she was somehow involved or an accomplice in the murder. And she tells the Irish Independent today, people watched it all over the world, not just in Ireland. It portrays me in the wrong light completely. And as an artist, she says, her work has dried up completely. So she is taking a legal action, or at least seeking to, because the defendants are overseas and she'll be in the High Court next week. So this story goes on and on. And unfortunately for Sophie Toscan de Plantier's family, there's absolutely no closure in this. Here's an odd one. In France, a worker has won his appeal against unfair dismissal. Nothing strange about that, you say, except he maintains he was dismissed for being boring. Yes, this man was a senior advisor at Cubic Partners, which promises to be fun and pro in their approach. And he wasn't fun and pro at all. So he refused, for instance, to go out drinking with his colleagues. And the boss eventually let him go for professional inadequacy. He lacked the party spirit the company was seeking to promote. Anyway, the equivalent of the WRC in France has found in his favour, and he was awarded €3,000. That's not a lot for unfair dismissal. Heavens above, how much would he have received here? Electric cars are becoming as expensive to run as diesel or petrol equivalents, according to the Irish Times. So e-cars, which is run by ESB, has announced an increase in its tariffs from the 20th of December onwards. And this is on top of an increase they applied back in May, a 47% increase. So, for instance, if you wish to use a fast charger, and let's face it, if you have an electric car, you'll need a fast charger, then you're looking at a per kilowatt rate of 64 cent. And if you do the sums, that is as expensive as a diesel car and even a little more expensive than a small petrol-powered car. Now, of course, with electric vehicles, if you have home charging, you can get the unit price down, especially if you go for a smart meter option. And there are some specific tariffs just for electric vehicle charging. But it's not very practical for everybody. Some people in apartments, for instance, will have to use the e-car chargers. This isn't exactly an incentive towards this big goal of 1 million electric cars on our roads by 2030. They might have to rethink that one. Anyway, if you're curious, tonight, the theme for the Late Late Show Toy Show, it's going to be The Wizard of Oz. Not exactly a Christmas theme, is it, per se? But then again, you will see the Yellow Brick Road on television every single Christmas. It's in there with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Love Actually and all of those movies that are repeated and rinsed and so on every single year. So Ryan Tuberty in Studio 4, he'll have his supporting cast of Munchkins out. People in 120 countries will tune in online. It is just a juggernaut at this stage. And Juliette Maguire is one of the people who will appear and sing on it. She's 9 years of age. She is from Newbridge. Having auditioned last August and wasn't expecting anything, she got the call up. She's really excited. And I'm sure there are many others from around the wider Midlands. And if you know of somebody who's really gearing up for the show tonight and is going to be on it and it's their big moment, tell us on 0818 300 103. We'd love to hear and shine an even bigger spotlight on them. OK, If you're not appearing on the toy show and you haven't got your career fully worked out yet, maybe these will tempt you. Very tasty Free Food Friday next week, with thanks to Jenny's Kitchen in Tullamore. And they are supporting the Tullamore Lions Club annual, which is now available. But yes, a two-course lunch worth €50 can be yours, along with a copy of the Tullamore annual, thanks to Jenny's Kitchen, this day week on Free Food Friday.
Whatever the weather, the local people that you can depend on to keep you warm are Flynn Fuels, delivering throughout the Midlands every day. 1-800-359-667. Midlands 103.
Around the Midlands this morning, it's 7 degrees. Next, a World Cup mystery is solved.
Midlands today with Tullamore Motors Renault. The Renault Clio is irresistible. Your 231 model is available for order today at tullamoremotors.ie.
Still to come today, the National Lottery's unclaimed prizes, €122 million over a five-year period. Did that money go to good causes? No. I'll tell you what it was used for after the news at 10. Also, you meet Leinster's Young Family Carer of the Year. But we've solved a mystery, one that bamboozled many people on the internet over the last few days. And if you were watching Belgium taking on Canada and you were eagle-eyed, you may have noticed, perched just behind the goals, a young man in an awfully jersey. Well, Anthony Carney has the answer to this. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Where are you at this moment?
I'm outside the Atkinson Ali Stadium where Wales are going to play Iran this morning.
Okay. Now, you are originally from Ballymore. You were living in Tubber for quite a while. At which side of the border, for the record?
Well, we live in Offaly. Now, Westmeath's address. Westmeath is our postal address. So, Finn claims Offaly. I still claim Westmeath.
Okay. So, you took a career break a couple of years ago. And what did you decide to do?
I decided it was a good time to up my family and go travelling. So, I took a career break from my job in Tala. And so I just moved to Qatar.
Why Qatar, of all places?
Hello?
Why Qatar, of all places, Anthony?
It's in my line of work. It's the job I was doing. It's the first one I've seen pop up in the Middle East. And then I've always wanted to travel. So I just applied for the job. And within minutes, they rang me and accepted. So I said, right, let's go.
Well, you're still there, so you must be enjoying life. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a great country. It's fun. The kids love it. There's so much here for families. Like, there's GA, there's rugby, there's soccer. The weather is fabulous. Quality of life is amazing. It's going to be hard to get home, I think.
And what's the mood and the atmosphere like around the World Cup?
It's electrifying. It's absolutely fantastic. Everyone is really, really enjoying the experience. The crowds are fun. The people are all soaking up the atmosphere. It's just everybody is talking about football. And it's fantastic. The crowds in and out of the stadiums are moving smoothly. I think it's about my fifth match now. We haven't had any issues in and out very quickly. It's really, really well organised. So I'm looking forward with a few more matches coming up, and we're going to go to as many as we can.
So let's go back to Belgium versus Canada. When did you begin to realise you'd been spotted? Or Finn, more to the point, had been spotted?
So we were getting ready to go out. I said to Finn, I said, wear your Offaly jersey. I said, if the Irish cameras see that, they're going to love it. But when we got to the stadium, we then realised we were actually sitting behind the goals. So I said to Finn, I said, it's a penalty here. You're going to be on the papers tomorrow. And within 10 minutes, there was a penalty. And about 2 seconds later, my phone started buzzing from our Tubber GA group. I'm sending the players, junior group, and somebody said, is that Anthony behind the goals? So then I said, yeah, that's me. And then after that, just the phone started buzzing, hopping. Finn went viral. He was trending on Twitter. It was all snowballed after that.
Now, how does he feel about this sudden fame?
He loved it, sure. It's an experience in the World Cup that he'll have for life now. So, you can always say he made the TV in the World Cup.
But he's not the only one of your children to have a memorable experience. Tell us about Eve.
Yeah, Eve's been a topsy-turvy 24 hours. Eve then got a last-minute call-up. She's on standby for the mascot for the Swiss Cameroon game. So we got a phone call the day before that she's available. So we got up at 5:30 in the morning and dropped her down to the stadium. And she got to walk out with Jack, the Arsenal player, the Swiss captain, holding the captain's banner.
Oh, wow.
She was first out. Yeah.
So she was on cloud nine, I'd say, for hours after that.
Yes. She loved it. She got home, I think, at 5:00 yesterday evening. Absolutely wrecked. She got her FIFA track suit, her FIFA runners, FIFA bag. So she was thrilled.
So what's the next game you'll attend?
Right, so we have, it's 12:30 here our time, mid-afternoon. We're going to Wales, Iran. And then at 10 o'clock tonight, we have to make a trek up out the country to Al Bayt Stadium. And we're going to see England versus USA. And then tomorrow we have a break and the day after. And then our next game, I think, is England and Wales, which is going to be a cracking game. And then we are into last 16 quarterfinal. And then we're going to the third place playoff. But we couldn't get final tickets yet.
Right.
But the tickets come up. I got these tickets at 3 a.m. this morning. I just happened to sit up and find them. They come on the retail platform. So all you have to do is keep checking. But I'm trying to work as well in between. So all my days off, I'm trying to go to Sunday match.
Ah, heavens above. So, well, look, you have to make hay while the sun shines. It's on your doorstep. So enjoy it. What jerseys will be adorning your family today?
So today we are going to be supporting Longford GA. Finn has a Longford jersey on him. And I have a Mayo, the guy shouting at me, up Mayo. Up Mayo! I have a Mayo jersey on me, which is Finn's granddad. He passed away last year.
Ah.
So we're bringing it out for the day. Hello to Finn's granny, Una, who's listening in there in boat.
What has become of the Offaly jersey, by the way, Anthony? Where is that now?
Oh, it's in the wash. It's coming out, don't worry. We've plenty more games now.
Okay.
Oh, what did you say? Where did it come from?
Well, no, I was wondering where it was today, so it's in the wash. So you'll resurrect it for a future fixture.
Yeah, so it's been, we're getting a little bit of slack about our Westmeath jerseys, where they're gone hiding. So, unfortunately, Finn grew out of the Westmeath jersey. And his sister was supposed to bring it the other night, and she left without it. So we were hoping to have an Offaly Westmeath contingency behind the goals. But anyway.
Okay, but you are going to bring out the Westmeath jersey at some point.
Yes, so my daughter is going to be wearing that for the Japan Spain game. She's
good. Good. Well, that gives you your passport home again if you ever wish to see Tubber in the future.
I'll be accepted back in Westmeath. Yeah.
Good man. Anybody else you need to say hello to while you're with us?
Just to all my family and friends in Ballymore, in Moose, Eggerstown, all the people I work with in Tala and Tullamore Hospital, my mother-in-law at home, Una, and all the gang there in Moose. And that's it. And Johnny Young there, a friend of mine in Rosemount, who's listening.
Excellent.
And Michelle as well.
Anthony, have a great time with the family. Thank you so much for taking our call.
A pleasure. Thanks for the call.
That's Anthony Kearney from Ballymore originally, had been living in Tubber, now living in Doha in Qatar. And it was his son Finn who was behind the goals for Belgium versus Canada. And, well, fair play to whomever spotted that originally. It was instantly online, on Twitter, and shared virally by Midlands 103's Will O'Callaghan, among others. 18 minutes to 10. After 10, €122 million in unclaimed lotto prizes. How do you not claim a lotto prize, actually? That's a question that never even occurred to me until now. But what became of that money? Because only 2% was used to top up prizes. That's a tiny proportion. What happened to the rest? Next, though, you meet Leinster's Young Family Carer of the Year.
Midlands Today with O'Brien's Hyundai Mullingar. The all-new Ioniq 5. Discover the electric life. Hyundai. On to better.
Some people never grow up, and others have to grow up all too fast. And when your mum dies at a young age, and you have a sibling with special needs, you have little choice but to put your shoulder to the wheel and play your part. And by gosh, has Hugh Hillier done just that, because he has been named as Young Family Carer of the Year for Leinster. Hugh, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, you're only 17 years of age. I say only because you've taken on a huge responsibility. Tell us about Ellen.
Ellen is 13. She's 14 in December. She has mild autism, but she does need assistance with everyday life, such as she needs to be reminded to take her medication, and she needs to be reminded to, say, brush her teeth. And it's just kind of to help her throughout the day with daily tasks, such as maybe cooking her dinner or just helping her out in general.
And I, by the way, my condolences on the loss of your mum. I know it's probably still very raw, having it happened in 2020. Who else is in the house with you?
Well, my father moved back in with me and my sister, and he's been with us now for 2 years now, and he's been a huge help. I'm very grateful for him to, you know, be back living with him. It was kind of something bittersweet as such that kind of came out of the passing of Mam's death. I kind of got to go back in with my father. But it was nice, and we've bonded together well over the 2 years.
Good, good. David is your dad. I presume he's working, is he?
Yeah, he's working, so he is.
Right, so that's why you have to play your part, and you've described some of Ellen's needs. Do you get any support in doing that outside of the immediate family?
Well, with young carers, I've been provided with services such as counselling in the school, and I meet up with one of the young carers' kind of assistants, and I have a talk with them, say, once a month to see how I'm getting on. And if I do need support, that I can just ask them. I can get, say, grinds for school or anything I need, they could provide for me.
How helpful is it to have that support?
Oh, it's very helpful, so it is, because I suppose kind of being a carer, you could feel isolated at times, and, you know, you feel like you're kind of stuck, but you know young carers are there. If you do need anything at all, like, they just won't phone away to help you.
And when you have those conversations with like-minded people who've had similar responsibilities thrust upon them, what do you talk about? What sort of issues come up, and what do you wish could be improved?
Well, I think that we should get more recognition for what we do, because I think there's a lot of young carers out there and a lot of carers in general that don't speak. They're kind of our own unsung heroes. And I think that if you are a young carer or a carer, that you should speak up and you should be proud of what you do. And there should be more gratitude and more kind of attention on us.
How did you find out about the award?
Well, I didn't really know much about it. My father got a phone call a few months ago asking, would it be okay if Hugh was to be nominated for Young Carer of the Year for Leinster? And then Dad just came home one evening, kind of with tears in his eyes, and he was like, you're after getting Young Carer of the Year for Leinster. And I didn't know what to think or what to say. I was just so gobsmacked, like.
And what does Ellen think of it?
She's delighted, so she is. I think she doesn't really know, I suppose, what it means, but I think she's delighted to kind of get the day out and to see kind of the plaque in my room for it.
Mm. What does it mean to you? Because I know you wouldn't have sought this out, you wouldn't have gone looking for it.
No, I think it's nice to get them recognition more so than anything else. I think it's just nice to be shown that hard work can be rewarded. And it's nice just to get that feeling of, I suppose, it's like a reward for all the work you put in.
And it's not just, for the record, the work with Ellen. I know you've been an advocate for young carers in general. You spoke very well, I'm told, last March at the Young Carers Forum. So I suspect you're going to be a voice for this for some time to come.
Oh, definitely. I want to, you know, make sure that there's a voice for carers and for young carers to get our name out there for the helping of, like I said, we're kind of unsung heroes, you know. All the work we do, I don't think there's not enough recognition, and I want to try make as much recognition for carers as I can.
Well done, Hugh. Well done from the entire Midlands. We wish you well and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hugh Hillard from Clara in County Offaly, Leinster's Young Carer of the Year at the Netwatch Family Carer of the Year Awards. Here, Midlands 103 with Sher on One by One. The 10 o'clock news is next.
Midlands Today with O'Brien's Renault Mullingar. The all-new Renault Arkana, hybrid by nature. Call to O'Brien's Renault Lynn Road today. Love the Midlands? Love. Midlands 103.
In the next half hour, the ESB makes electric cars as expensive to run as petrol or diesel equivalents. The Friday panel brings you up to date on all the big issues of the week. And can you spot the connection between these songs?
Oh, yeah.
Going to wreck your head with that one over the next hour. When you call 0818 300 103 is my number. You can text or WhatsApp 083 3010 103. Many messages of praise, by the way, for Hugh Hilliard from Clara, the Leinster Young Carer of the Year. Teresa, for instance, saying he is an inspiration to all, young and elderly alike. His heart is totally in his family as their carer, and she wishes him good health and happiness always. And one listener has sent an image from a World Cup, possibly the current one or maybe a previous one, of a lady wearing a P. Egan's T-shirt of Moat fame, by the way. And one final message from Paddy, who says, you have to shop around, and here is the proof. In a local petrol station close to him, a tub of Celebrations, Roses or Quality Street will set you back €7 each. So three tubs, €21. You can get 8 for 20 in the big supermarkets. I hear you, Paddy. The costs are higher for that filling station provider. Then again, are they that much higher? I'll let you decide. Now, why would you never claim the lotto if you won? It's a bizarre, bizarre situation. But it happens, and €122 million in prize money went uncollected and unclaimed between 2016 and 2021. This has caught the eye of the chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee, that's Laoise Offaly Sinn Féin TD, Brian Stanley. Deputy Stanley, good morning.
Good morning, Will, and good morning to your listeners.
What interests you about this?
I was wondering, Will, were you one of those people that claimed it? That's why.
Not a hope.
No, on a serious note. Look, we have been, the CNAG done, I spoke to you back in September about the CNAG's annual report. And
that's the Comptroller and Auditor General, for those who don't know the acronym.
He's the person who does the final audit in relation to nearly 200 accounts, public accounts belonging to the state. And the lotto regulator is one of those. Now, the lotto company, the operator, is actually a private company. Yesterday at the Public Accounts Committee, we brought in the regulator. And in 2 weeks' time, we have to be a little bit creative about this because the private company isn't answerable to us, but we're bringing them in anyway. In 2 weeks' time, you know, that's Premier Lottos. They've been operating it. They bought the licence when it was privatised back in 2014. by the then Labour Fianna Fáil government, Fine Gael government, sorry. And one of the issues is there's 122 million in unclaimed prizes over a 6-year period, you know, which is substantial. And there's a number of other issues around it. But the strange thing about it is that within the terms of the licence, the operator is, it says, you know, shall use this money for additional prizes and, you know, extra raffles, etc. Mm. And it goes on to say that, and they may use some of it for advertising and promotion. Now, shall and may.
It doesn't specify any ratios or limits.
No, this is the problem. This is one of the problems. So, I mean, obviously the private company that was sold off to, which I don't believe it should have been sold off to them, if it was being sold off to them, the terms of the licence should have been set out a lot clearer. But that's the way it is now, and it's a 20-year licence. They bought it for 405 million, but they're getting a nice little return on it, and I'll go through that with you. And your listeners may be interested in this. But what they actually have done is they've used 98% of the money for the May part of it. In other words, they have the option of using it for extra advertising, but they use almost a whole lot of it for extra advertising and promotion. And people at this stage are probably sick looking at a lot of ads on the television and everywhere else. I mean, there's literally saturation coverage at this point. And they use 2% for extra prizes. I mean, and I put this to the regulator yesterday, if they had to use just 100 euros or 10 euros for extra prizes, it would have actually complied legally with the terms of the licence. So it's a bit of a ridiculous situation. Now
could it be argued, however, that in promoting the lotto to more people, they bring in more money than if they had topped up the prizes? I mean, advertising produces a return on investment.
Okay. What I would say to you, Will, is that good prizes as well attract people to raffles and the number of draws. And, you know, there's a loyal following. It is under the jurisdiction of the state, while it's a private company that operates the licence. You know, so there's the public good does come into this. You know, what I would say to you is that, you know, people, there's a big, you know, if I could, like there was 1.05 billion, that's over 1,000 million spent on it in 2021. I have that figure here in front of me, the breakdown for that year. So there's a lot of money spent on this. You know, the public engage with it. People, a lot of people engage with it as well because they feel that, you know, a lot of the money goes back to good causes. They claim 90% of it goes back to the community. It doesn't. We went through this yesterday. I took them through this yesterday. It's actually between 27 and 28% goes back to the community. You know, so for that reason, I would say to you that there's a public good part here to this as well. But the actual facts of it are is that, you know, in promotion, to answer your question directly, when you're promoting something, you know, you have to give something back. And I would say to you that extra draws, extra raffles, extra incentives and spreading out the prizes a bit, you know, is 18 million the best thing to do in one go? Would you be better off with 18 people in Leash Offaly getting a million each? A lot of your listeners this morning, I think, would be happy enough if they got a million, you know, if doing that next week, you know.
Well, look, obviously I'm conflicted in asking the question because this radio station, like all others, has benefited from lottery advertising.
Ah, yes.
But if I can quote, and this is from Nielsen Buyer Insights in the United States, for every $1 spent on radio advertising in the grocery industry, it generated a return of $23. So I don't have information for the lottery equivalent, but in trying to increase the prize pot, clearly it must have worked, or they would have embraced your idea if it was commercially in their interests.
Well, that's there isn't a scientific answer to that. But the two things I would say to you, one is that this is under the aegis of the state. In other words, the taxpayer. It's a public enterprise. And the second thing I would say to you is in relation to the extra incentives with raffles and extra prizes, there isn't a proven science with that. That's what I would say to you. And there's also the issue of the public good. But can I just say in relation to the advert, that the adverts which are saying that 90% of it goes back into the community, and we took them through this yesterday and I challenged them on this, and in actual fact what's happening is it's between 27 and 28.4% goes back into the community. And if you take that 2021 figure of just over $1 billion, what happened during that year was that there was $586 million in prizes. That left a gaming revenue of $468 million, and 65% of that went to the Exchequer, which is $304 million. So it's a 304 out of the $1.05 billion that went back to that went to good causes and went to various organisations. 35% then goes to the between the operator and the regulator and commission for the retailers. And the retailers, they get between 5% and 6%, which are entitled to their own businesses locally. Mm. But the operator got $103 million. So
what was the figure for good causes again as a percentage?
Between 27% and 28%, 28.4%.
How did the National Lottery try to justify the 90% claim?
Well, their answer was, no, it's the regulator, mind you, that we have in yesterday. Okay, she is publicly accountable to us, and the 12 people who work for her are publicly accountable to us. That's why we can get them in. They're one of the bodies that are audited by the CNAG and overseen by the Public Accounts Committee. The way they tried to justify it is that the money going in prizes is to the community, and also the commission going to the retailers, the supermarkets and shops that sell it. But by any standard, you know, and I challenged her on this yesterday, that Miss Boat, that if you go out on the street and ask people for their interpretation of what they take,
they'll assume it's for the local sports grant or something similar.
Will, or the Meals on Wheels or something like that. They won't assume that, I mean, they won't come to the conclusion that it's prize money. So it's a misleading advertising. That's the other thing with it. But
did she agree with that assessment? Is the regulator prepared to challenge them on it?
I would ask people to view the transcript of it. I think that, you know, she certainly got, I suppose Gwilyn might be too strong a word, but she certainly got questioned very robustly yesterday about all of this. Our intention with this is, and what I want to do as chair of the committee, is that when we get in the private company, the operator, is we will do a report with recommendations, and we will be looking, the department oversees this, by the way, is deeper, that's the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, who oversees all public spending in the state. And we will be sending recommendations to that department, the Secretary General and the Minister, which at the moment is Michael McGrath. And we'll be expecting that department to act on those recommendations, and we'll be looking for responses as to what we're going to do. Because there may be, bearing this in mind, I said at the outset, this is a 20-year licence, okay? And with a 20-year licence, we're nearly midway through it. It may be limited in terms of what can be changed, but wherever changes can be made, we want them to be made. And, you know, I would be asking for the government to seek legal advice in terms of what they can do in relation to actually legally changing some of the terms of the licence, because there's obviously flaws in what was done in 2014. And, okay, at the time, there's $405 million came into the Exchequer. But, you know, you can only sell the family silver once. That's the problem, and you have to be careful when you do it.
And when the licence is up, and if Sinn Féin was in government, would you be inclined to sell it again?
2034, Will. 2034, that's when it's up. Well, certainly, if you were asking me to put on my hat in terms of, and, you know, and whoever's there in 2034, I may be long enough at that stage. You certainly would be. If I was the minister, I would certainly be insisting that the terms were a lot clearer, that issue of percentages was defined as to what can be used for advertising and extra prizes and good causes. And it's worth pointing out as well that across the water, unclaimed prizes runs for 180 days. After 180 days, it actually goes towards the community grants, right? Now, they have a different structure, slightly different structure. It's not like for like, but I just want to point out that's what happens there. One other interesting fact about all of this, I give the returns on it in terms of the company, what they get. They also, what was interesting at the time in 2014, the consortium that took it over is 10% on post and 10% of the on post pension fund. And the other 80% is the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. That's the Canadian pension plan for teachers, okay, in Ontario. And that's getting a nice return. But what actually happened with the company that runs that, they took out a loan from the private company. And strangely enough, they took out the loan at 9%. And I challenged her on this yesterday, that loan was taken out at a time when you could borrow money at less than 1%. You know, why was money borrowed at that rate? Now, if you look at the balance sheets, what's actually happened, along with the return to the company, what's happened is there's been a handsome return to the parent company by way of 9% interest every year. And if you just look at the years 2019 and 2020, for example, there was 22.6 million in profit, or sorry, in interest on that loan that was paid from the operator to their parent company, in other words, to their brother. You know, now I'm talking obviously in financial terms, not, I don't mean in family terms, but paid to the parent company. And in 2020, there was 24.7 million in interest paid to the parent company. So you can see, and you can look down along the years, we've done a good bit of research.
Are you suggesting it's a dividend in disguise and should be taxed as such?
Well, I'm saying very clearly, it's a win-win situation. You know that the winner here in the lotto is the company operating it and the parent company. And I said this to her straight, I'm saying it very straight to you as well, Will, and your listeners. If I was a member of that pension plan in Ontario, Canada, I would be very happy to see a return of 9% every year at a time when you could get 0%. And my money in the bank was actually losing money on deposit when you took the charges away. So, you know, money...
That's a good deal. It is a good deal.
Yes, it's a very good deal. So there's a number of factors with it, Will. And, you know, like I've outlined some of them in relation to the terms of the licence, the unclaimed money, the way it's being used, the misleading advertising. You know, I also dealt with this issue with him, with the game, the actual games as well, because you recall that there was two extra balls added. I don't play the lotto, by the way, but I hear these complaints the whole time about that since then it's harder to win. And it's rolled over 63 times there back, I think, earlier in the year. And there's a lot of complaints about that.
Yes, I recall Bernard Durkin of Fine Gael highlighting that at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And Bernard Durkin, in fairness, did. But the regulator didn't intervene. Premier Lotteries themselves changed it to put a 19 million limit on it for the simple reason it's becoming an embarrassment and it was losing credibility. But the regulator, I've asked her that yesterday, did you intervene? No, she hadn't intervened. The regulator hadn't intervened and should have intervened. But the regulator, let's be clear about it, one of the other things needs to change is that the powers of the regulator need to be beefed up, and the government needs to look at that to see what can be done in that regard. It may be limited enough because of the terms of the licence, and there may be legal constraints there, but that needs to be seriously examined to see what can be done there.
Brian Stanley, you know, we've stretched past our time, unfortunately, but we will keep an eye on this issue, and thank you very much for taking our call.
No bother, Will. I'll keep you up to date. Okay, thank you.
Brian Stanley is the Sinn Féin TD in Laois Offaly. He is chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. Next, if you've just taken the plunge and bought an electric car, they are a bit more expensive up front, but the theory is you'll get that money back through cheaper running costs. But has the ESB just put a dent in that argument?
Midlands Today with Tullamore Opel, Church Road, Tullamore. Time to cross over the new Mokka. Test drive your 231 Opel Mokka at Tullamore Motors, Church Road, Tullamore. See tullamoremotors.ie.
It's not just in your home or your business. Electricity prices are going up for electric car owners as well at the e-car terminals. And this is the second substantial increase this year. So the question is whether it is still cheaper to run an electric vehicle or a petrol or a diesel. Are they all the same? Bob Flavin is the Port Laois petrol head. Morning, Bob.
Morning, Will.
So the answer depends on where you're charging now.
Very much. If you have a home charge unit and you have a night rate meter, you'll save money. For sure, you'll still save a bit of money on doing that. Now, lots of people don't have night rate meters. Lots of people don't have smart meters either. So I'm sure there's tons of people there on a standard rate, standard tariff at home, which is anywhere between, say, 21 cent and 31 cent at home per kilowatt hour, which if you think of that, it's about half of what they want to charge if at a fast charger on the street. But the most amount of electric car users actually want to charge on the street. You will eventually have to. It's fine if you live in a city, but if you live in Tullamore and you're working at Loan, for instance, you're going to use a public charger at some point. And right now you're going to pay more than double for the service than you did a few months back.
So what are the new rates? And again, it depends on the type of charger you're using on the roadside.
Yeah, so the standard charger would what's called a 22 kilowatt or 11 kilowatt charger. So the lower powered one, not the huge big green boxes you see on the side of the road, but rather the small ones you find in car park. Now, they're going up from 33.6 cent per kilowatt to 56.3 cent per kilowatt. So that's 23%. That's 23 cent, about 67% in rising prices. So it's really a very, very fast rise in price. And that's the standard charge. Now, the 50 kilowatt chargers, that's probably the more typical one that people would use. That's one when you're traveling anywhere in the country, going anywhere long distance. They're the ones you're seeking out, 50 kilowatts and above.
Yeah, therefore, this is the one that will allow you to pick up a coffee, maybe a quick snack, and return to your car with a decent amount topped up.
Yeah, you're talking about maybe 20 minutes to 40 minutes at one of those chargers to get a fairly decent amount of charge in your car. But it's going from 39.4 cent, and that was at an all-time high at 39.4, to 64.7 kilowatt per kilowatt hour. So 64.7 cent is a huge increase. It's going to make a massive dent in how much money you're spending at one of those charge points. So much of a massive dent that you're kind of getting very, very close to the price of diesel now.
Well, that's hard to work out for most people to have a 64.7 cent rate on a kilowatt hour or a litre of diesel and miles per gallon or litres per kilometre, whatever metric you want. And the direction of travel with electricity prices is up. How are the pumps looking at the moment?
The pumps are trending downwards, so we've had a drop of about 4%, which you will notice if you shop around. Now, if you go for the kind of motorway roadside, big petrol stations, massive ones, they tend to charge a little bit of a premium because they're closest to the motorway, the first ones you see. But if you look around some of the backstreet stuff, which is all going to be fuel, whatever happens about people telling about dirty diesel and dirty this and the other, but it's all going to be fuel, you will find anything up to 20 cent in the difference of a litre of petrol and diesel at the pumps. So it's worth shopping around. Now, if you were to take a kind of average price of diesel versus the current price of charging on the main street, and you're regularly using these chargers, you are definitely going to be spending more money on your electricity and your battery car than you would on a diesel, and certainly on a small petrol.
That's a challenge for policymakers, because the electric car, generally speaking, is more expensive to buy in the first place. The reason many people took the plunge is they hoped to recover the cost later when the running costs were lower. Now, really, it only has an environmental reason to buy, and even that is dubious enough because of the way batteries are mined. How do you see this playing out?
It very much depends now on the competition in the market. There's another company called EasyGo, and they've been very, very proactive, an Irish company, trying to get their charge in the street. You'll find them in Lidl's. Wherever you go in Lidl, you'll find an EasyGo charger there. And they've been doing really good work. Now, it shouldn't be up to a private company to really do this. ESB is 95% owned by the Irish government. This is coming directly from the top. So this should be easily done. But why would you change now? I mean, if you have a diesel and you were thinking about your next car being electric, it's a big step. You're talking about 30 to 60,000 euro and above that again to get into an electric car, plus a home charging unit, plus just a change of language and then the change of ideas of how far you go on electric. There's a big transition. And so right now, if they don't do something with this power, there's absolutely no reason for people like me, journalists who want you into the best car you can and the most reasonably priced, the best warranties and everything else, there's no reason for me to recommend you into an electric car over a PHEV, over a diesel, petrol. The fuel prices are now pretty much the same, no matter which one you want. The big benefit was that electric cars were so much cheaper to run and own, but that really has leveled out now to being just about the same price as diesel and petrol.
Bob, always great chatting. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Will.
Bob Flavin, the Portlaoise petrol head. Look him up on TikTok, Instagram, and of course YouTube for all those car reviews. Bob Flavin. Now, a few people have asked to hear this again. Nothing to be won, just a bit of fun. This will wreck your head. What is the connection between all of these songs?